Wes Gillingham with Catskill Mountain Keeper is here in the WGXC Acre studio to talk about, I guess, mostly the Constitution Pipeline, but there's also the Pilgrim Pipeline. There's the Northeast Direct Pipeline. There's the, you said the ALM Pipeline?
The AIM Pipeline.
AIM Pipeline.
Algonquin Improvement Market Project.
So there's at least four around within 100 miles
of
Albany?
Well, and then there's another project proposal. Well, first of all, thank you for having me here in the studio.
Welcome to,
Yeah,
we're overwhelmed by pipelines already.
Exactly. I mean, what we're experiencing is an onslaught by industry. You know, most people are familiar with hydrofracking and the process and the horrific impacts to communities and the region from that. We've banned that in New York. However, what New York is facing is an onslaught of the industry needing to get their products, whether it's natural gas or fracked oil from North Dakota, to market and to refineries.
And why are they going through New York?
Well, partly because we're just north of the Marcellus Shale.
Just natural geography.
Natural geography. We're close to the Marcellus Shale. Well, actually, we're over the Marcellus Shale, but where they're drilling in Pennsylvania, they need to get the gas from northeast Pennsylvania to Canada so that they can raise the price of gas. They've driven the price of natural gas into the ground, so they're not making money. They're actually slowing the drilling down.
This is sort of the same thing that's going on with the oil industry, too?
Yes. And so what they want to do is get it to the New England pipeline system, which is connected to Canada, and therefore it can go into Canada and they can export it. They can sell it at a higher price overseas. In some ways, it's easier for them to get approval to sell it for export through Canada versus trying to build LNG export facilities on the East Coast. So that's why there's a race by industry. Companies are competing with each other. You've got the Constitution Pipeline, which is mostly through the approval process, except for what's called a 401 water quality certificate, which is given by the DEC, the Department of Environmental Conservation. They're responsible for upholding the federal Clean Water Act, and that's what that certificate is about. Then there's the Dominion project, which is they're taking an old pipeline west of here, and they're just adding more compressor stations. They're trying to pump more gas through the system. That pipeline already is connected to
where
the Iroquois.
Where is that?
It goes through Otsego County, Montgomery County, Madison County. But it's already connected to the system, but it's an old pipeline and it's a smaller pipeline. They just want to add compressor stations to pump it up. So they're trying to beat the regulatory process by just moving more gas through an existing pipeline. Then there's the Constitution. On top of the Constitution, Constitution hasn't even been, you know, they haven't started construction yet. They're still waiting on that 401 water quality certificate. Now
they want to start cutting down trees soon. Is that what
correct?
I
heard? Correct. Yeah, there's a push to get the trees cut before, you know, as the new year starts, to start working on that. Otherwise, they run into a restriction on clearing. So then there's the Northeast Energy Direct, which is a Kinder Morgan project that's slapped right on the same right-of-way or adjacent to the same right-of-way as the Constitution. Then there's the Algonquin.
But then it goes on to through...
Right. The NED project doesn't just connect the Iroquois pipeline to the Millennium pipeline and the Tennessee pipeline.
It goes through Albany County into Massachusetts, right?
Into Massachusetts and New Hampshire.
And Rensselaer County. Albany and Rensselaer.
Yes. Yeah. And that particular pipeline...
It was going to go through Columbia County, but they moved it because they were mainly protesting the Berkshires, right, that moved it further north into Massachusetts?
Well, there was a series of things that happened. They moved it north and away from some populated areas in Massachusetts. I mean, that's actually what spurred the Attorney General in Massachusetts onto getting a study done, because all these pipeline companies are saying, oh, we need to get it to the New England market. You know, that's their talking point. But the Attorney General in the state of Massachusetts conducted a study or hired out to get a study done, which shows that the New England market does not need this gas. So that's a fallacy by industry. They're using that as cover to take their gas to Canada where they can export it and get a higher price. the problem with LNG export, besides the fact that you have all the impacts of building these pipelines to get it to Canada, LNG export is it's an incredibly inefficient way of using the gas. They have to chill it down, cool it down. There's a lot of resources used at an LNG facility. There's a lot of impacts wherever that facility is. It causes that, you know, there's releases of methane. There's a whole series of problems with just even exporting.
So it's wasteful to export.
It's incredibly wasteful. You know, back in the early days of the Marcellus, the anti-fracking campaign, you know, industry was running around, oh, we need energy security. And, you know, we just see again, it's not about energy security. It's about corporate profit. And that's the most horrifying thing about this whole process. All these pipelines are fit, except for, well, the Pilgrim is different. That's an oil pipeline, and that doesn't fit under the Natural Gas Act and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. But we'll talk about that in a bit. The these gas pipelines are approved by FERC, and they go through that process. There's a public hearing process, and there's a comment period. But generally, FERC is a rubber stamping system for pipelines to get built. It creates an awareness of what's going on, but they're not really, I mean, FERC hasn't denied pipelines. So, and you look at what happened, especially with the Constitution and now the NED pipeline, all these communities are facing eminent domain. The people who live in the path of where they want to put that, their property will be taken under public necessity and convenience, which is basically the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission saying this is needed for society. But it's not. Like, as I mentioned, you've got all these different pipelines competing, trying to get to market first so that they can make a higher profit. And it's they've granted eminent domain the right for these pipeline companies to take people's private property so that they can make a higher profit. That's not public necessity and convenience. That's just corporate greed. And
you also saying that they're competing against each other? So that means that one of the pipelines could fail, and then there'd be like this dead pipeline because the one company did better than the other pipeline. Is that true? Or?
Well, when I say they're competing, they're all in a race to get the approvals and get these things built so that they can be the first one to do, you know, to be moving Marcellus gas to export.
I guess I'm asking, is so many get approved, is it going to lower the price of everything so low that they become economically unfeasible? And are we overbuilding, I guess?
Well, that's a very good question. The question isn't whether it becomes economically feasible, but what we are doing is overbuilding for the amount of gas that's in the Marcellus. And once they start exporting it, the price will go back up. Then they can start charging everybody and all the customers in the Northeast who are using Marcellus gas, New York City, everywhere, the price goes way up. And then, you know, there are questions as to actually how much gas is in the Marcellus and how long that will last. So you could end up with a situation with a lot more infrastructure than you actually need.
And I guess before we get too far in the weeds with everything, but if somebody's just tuning in, why is a pipeline necessarily a bad thing? Is it worse than an oil train? Is it worse than other ways of doing this? Or is it just not necessary?
Well, in the case, again, I mean, for me personally, the worst thing about the pipeline is that it allows industry to keep impacting Pennsylvania and the communities, the people in Pennsylvania that are getting sick, that are some people are dying because they live close distance to a well. Hydrofracking, the way that we are getting our natural gas and oil today with hydrofracking and the extreme impacts that go with that, it's just not safe for communities. So by encouraging that build out, that's the worst. That's number one, the worst thing for me. But in terms of, you know, organizationally and in terms of what we here in New York are looking at, there are immense impacts from pipeline construction. Number one, the Constitution and the NED pipeline are going to be cutting a swath of forest through a heavily forested part of the state. There's a lot of natural systems there, migratory bald eagles and golden eagles and a whole series of what they call neotropical species, forest species that that come here and breed, that's going to fragment their habitat. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is the people that live near the pipelines, they run the risk of explosions, leaks. Every place you put a pipeline, you have to put a compressor station, which is probably the most insidious and dangerous aspect of pipeline construction. Compressors along pipelines release benzene, methane, a whole series of pollutants that can cause serious health damage.
And noise too?
And noise. I mean, their industry is trying, you know, depending on where they build their compressor station, sometimes they do a really good job of making that compressor station, keeping the noise down. But then there's other questions that are popping up that health officials are looking at. There's a vibration problem. If you live within a mile of a compressor station, you know, people are complaining about things, and they're looking at the reason that people are having these health problems is the vibration from living in proximity to such a huge, huge engine vibrating the ground. I've talked to some people that live near compressor stations. They can, when they lie in bed at night, they can feel the vibration of the compressor station. But the worst is the air impacts. At the Hancock compressor station along the Millennium Pipeline in the Western Catskills, they had something called a blowdown, which this was what was a statement by the industry was it was a routine maintenance. Well, routine maintenance included opening up the valve on the Millennium Pipeline and draining 9 miles of pipeline, releasing 9 miles of methane into the air. People who lived right near that compressor station were evacuated, not because they were going to be breathing horrific toxins, but because the decibel levels were going to be above 100 decibels while this pipeline was spewing into the air. So they evacuated the residents that lived close by. But there were some residents who were terrified. They called the police. They called 911. They weren't notified, but they just heard this screaming pipeline. They thought the pipeline was about to blow up. They didn't know what was going on. Now the company notifies those folks. But though those folks weren't evacuated, they were breathing that stuff. You know, benzene is a really potent carcinogen.
Is just normal operation of a compressor facility. You said it was a special release, but they have to release.
When they do maintenance on the thing, they do a blowdown. Now there are ways of restricting the amount of gas that gets released, but in this case.
But there's no way of eliminating it. They're still good. They're going to release.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
And now we're hearing in the news across the nation these oil train accidents 1 month after the next. Are there pipeline accidents 1 month after the next that are not reported, or is it safer than the train?
Well, I think we're mixing issues here in that, you know, one is natural gas and it's pipeline, and then the other one, the oil trains, and then the Pilgrim pipeline are concerning crude oil.
So what other way could you move natural gas if we're just talking about natural gas first?
That's the only way that's feasible, really, for natural gas. I mean, you can compress it and truck it, but that, you know,
to the question of whether we should be hydrofracking in Pennsylvania or not.
Look what just happened. Just, you know, a week or so ago, hundreds of countries came together and made an agreement. It might not be the best agreement that they could have come up with, but they all agreed we need to do something about climate change. Building multiple pipelines across the state, building the first ever crude oil pipeline in the state, transporting oil via rail to refineries all across, endangering all the upstate communities in New York. That's not how you combat climate change. That's how you encourage it. And that's what we're facing. And that's why so many people are coming out to these, you know, press conferences and rallies in different parts of the state. Because people see that it's just a bad idea to go forward with all this infrastructure when we should be putting that same kind of effort and dollars into renewables, into solar panels, into wind and
Would you advocate instead of this sort of thing, windmills up on, you can't see the mountain today because of the fog, but there's a mountain back there. Would you advocate for windmills on the mountains?
Well, I definitely advocate for renewable energy, where those are placed, you know, has to be decided by communities and people who live there. You know, right now there's a push by some companies to lease farmland on our side of the Catskills over in Sullivan County. Companies are coming trying to lease farmland.
For windmills or for what?
For solar panels. You know, there's the issue, okay, you know, do you put solar panels over viable farmland? You know, what would make a lot of sense is to have every parking lot covered with solar panels, all big buildings.
I don't understand why all government buildings don't. I mean,
I agree. I mean,
it doesn't make any sense why we're sending money to Saudi Arabia and Pakistan when we could be just harvesting the sun off our government buildings.
Yeah, and so the price of solar is going down dramatically.
And it would go down much more dramatically if every government building in the United States ordered a solar panel.
Correct,
right?
Correct.
The whole business would
so
explode.
I mean, that's the whole, but you're exactly right. That's the whole problem here. We're, you know, industry is coming into the state. They're taking our time and, you know, they're using resources of our state Department of Environmental Conservation to study whether a pipeline, how a pipeline can be mitigated, because there are impacts, instead of us putting the money into solar panels and windmills. And, you know, talking about the impact of a pipeline to the 401 water quality permit that I referred to early about the Constitution
this is
pipeline.
The DEC
this is a
decision
DEC.
That's pending right now on the Constitution pipeline.
Yes, and it's the DEC has jurisdiction to make sure to certify. That's why it's called a certificate instead of a permit. They have to certify that the company is fulfilling and protecting water of the state under the Clean Water Act. DEC commented during the hearing process, said, no, the way you're proposing to do this, this was on their environmental impact statement, their draft, the way you're proposing to do that is not protective of water. You need to drill under major water courses. You know, there's hundreds of water courses that are going to be crossed by this pipeline. They had the proposal to do an open trench across Schoharie Creek and drop the pipeline in it. Well, for two reasons, the impact of just doing an open trench on the water course is immense. And then the other thing, that's not the best way, creating a disturbed river bottom that you've placed a pipeline in. Think about what happened to Schoharie Creek a couple of years ago during that flood. You would have a potentially dangerous situation where the
trees
pipeline,
and houses coming.
Yeah. So, and you're going to put a pipeline, you know, 6 feet under in a disturbed, you know, rock bed. You're looking at the potential for a pipeline to get washed out and to get broken, you know, which
during
was seen
a storm.
During a storm.
When it wouldn't get fixed for how many days?
Well, it wouldn't be get fixed, and it would be spewing methane and contributing to climate change and endangering a community and, you know, the potential for an explosion even. So the DEC made that comment, said, no, you should drill under these water courses. FERC approved their EIS anyway, even though when they came back with their final document, they ignored the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, said, no, we just want to do open trenching.
So the DEC has been decimated by employee budget cuts, right? Are they as toothless as FERC?
Well, comparing them to FERC, completely different agencies in the way they work. I think that's why this 401 water quality permit has taken so long, is because, well, number one, there's some issues with it. The DEC doesn't agree with what they're being proposed. And, you know, I mean, my hope is that the DEC will see the wisdom in their original comments and have the backbone, which I think they have the backbone and the legal precedent to stand up to FERC and say, no, this is not protective of New York City's or New York State's water courses. This is not protective enough for the communities. We're denying this permit. And there is legal precedent for a state to deny a FERC against FERC under water quality or air quality certificates. So that's my hope of what has happened. That's why communities all across the Western Catskills and organizations have been putting this push to call Governor Cuomo, asking him to tell the DEC to do their job and due diligence and to deny this permit. And there's been, you know, thousands of calls in the last few weeks around this.
And we're speaking with Wes Gillingham from Catskill Mountain Keeper, mostly about the Constitution Pipeline, but some of the other pipelines too. And you're talking about the Constitution Pipeline and the DEC right now. Is Governor Cuomo generally in favor of these pipelines, or is he against, or is he putting pressure on the DEC in any way, or is he hands-free, or what do you think about that?
I think that Governor Cuomo did an amazing job with the environmental impact of fracking itself. He had the Commissioner of Health look at the impact of fracking, and they made a decision not to allow it, not to allow horizontal drilling and high-volume hydrofracking in the state of New York.
But he kept
that was
it,
a really intelligent decision, and it was based on health impacts. So in the document that the Department of Health compiled on the health impacts of hydrofracking, some of the things that were used as evidence as to why it should be banned in this state were the releases from compressor stations and the impacts of pipelines. So they understand that. They get it.
They're already on the record somewhat about that issue.
Exactly. I mean, you look at that compilation, and it really shows the serious impacts of pipelines and compressor stations and moving the gas through our state. So I'm sure they've gone back to their old document and looked at that, and looked at the specific issues on the ground, trying to put in a pipeline across the Western Catskills. And I'm hopeful that they will deny that certificate.
And well, what can people do if they have an opinion, pro or con or whatever, on this issue?
Well, you know, last week we had this, push to call Governor Cuomo. But if you missed that, you can find the governor's phone number, online, and maybe I'll get it before we finish up here. But you can call the governor and say that, have him ask the DEC to deny the 401 water quality certificate.
The comment period is over with the DEC, so there's nothing to...
Well, it was a FERC comment period, and that comment period is over. But the DEC is still holding on to that permit, and they haven't released their recommendations with that.
And this is the Constitution...
It's not a permit, it's their 401 water quality certificate.
The Constitution Pipeline goes from Albany through Schoharie and Delaware County down to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it runs from Susquehanna County, Pennsylvania, all the way up and by the Wright compressor station up. I guess that's in Montgomery County.
And if the DEC approves this last or this part, is this the end and it's approved and they start cutting trees and digging trenches, or what happens next?
Well, there's been a little bit of discussion about if, and there was a statement by someone from Cabot that was sent to their staff.
Cabot is the company that
wants
to put in.
One of the owners of the Constitution. That if they didn't get started on clearing, they wouldn't be able to finish it by March, which then they run under restrictions of clearing. And they would delay the project for another year. But again, delay might be an okay thing for people to learn about an issue, but we're not asking for delay. We're asking for this pipeline not to be built.
And is the DEC about to make a decision, do you think, by the end of the year? Or is this what's the timeline looking like?
Well, they need to make a decision by April. Otherwise, they waive their rights, which that would be really sad if the DEC did that, is to just, stick their head in the sands and didn't make it come out with an opinion as to whether this should be built or not.
Well, that's a good transition to, what happened this week with the Pilgrim Pipeline. The DEC did not get its head stuck in the sand. I don't know what happened there exactly, but is going to not the DEC is going to take a look at the environmental impact of the Pilgrim Pipeline with the Thruway Authority, instead of, I guess, the company behind it was trying to get the Thruway Authority to do the environmental proceedings because the Thruway Authority would conceivably be look at it much rosier because they're getting a financial benefit. The company's, I guess, leasing space or paying the Thruway Authority for rent using that right away.
Right. So, just a little background again. Again, it's fracked oil. It's fracked oil that's coming
It's one thing one way and one way thing the other way.
Yeah, they're talking about building a pipeline that runs
two pipelines, right?
From from Albany, that's carrying crude down to refineries in New Jersey, and then it would be carrying refined product back up to Albany. And there's spurs along the line. There's one in Windsor, and you know, there's a few of them, or Newburgh. So what you've got here, again, this is this need for build out to reach market. They're taking Bakken oil up and down the Hudson from the port of Albany. Up until recently, there was a oil tanker that was coming from Canada, coming up the Hudson, loading up in Albany, and going back out. That, even though, you know, people think of an oil export ban that they're lifting,
it was voted out two
days
ago.
That particular
right?
tanker was had this loophole because it was taking oil to Canada, and then it was bringing it back, the refined product that's technically not exporting it. It's just processing it in Canada. But so the worry here is, okay, the pipeline companies running around saying, oh, pipelines are better than barges, and, you know, the people are using the barges, or barges are better than pipelines, there's less accidents. But the point here, again, is both of these things are, you know, one, it doesn't mean the other isn't happening. Industry is trying to move as much of that fracked oil as they can.
They're not going to eliminate barges if the
right,
Pilgrim Pipeline
exactly.
is. There's still going to be barges of oil going up down the Hudson.
Right. So. And again, this will be the first oil pipeline that's been built in the state of New York. Why, again,
along the Hudson River too?
Along the Hudson River, this, you know, this jewel of the state. But why, again, would we be putting an investment into building this pipeline, considering the climate impacts of encouraging oil exploration? And, you know,
and it's for oil export too. That it goes to New Jersey, and then they're going to ship it to Europe.
Well,
or
at that
right?
point, wherever the market is where they're going to. I don't know, you know, where their business plan is taking that.
But it's certainly not
project.
Helping New Yorkers. This is just a pass through.
This is all about you know, industry profit. And again, you know, what they're doing in North Dakota and what's happening, the impacts of the communities, that's one of the biggest reasons why we shouldn't be allowing our state to be a conduit for North Dakota to get trashed. And we need to be moving away from fossil fuels, not buying into it and getting more addicted to it.
But it's just trashing our portion of the state, too. I mean, basically, for no benefit. There's no jobs, right?
Exactly.
There's few jobs. They're going to build it. And then they don't do it good. From what I've read, they don't do a good job of taking care of these pipelines, so there's not that many jobs actually overseeing them, right?
Right. And there's been some very serious accidents related to crude oil moving through pipelines in various parts of the country. And again, so what you were referring to that's just happened, 25 towns, four legislatures, all sent letters saying...
Athens, Coxsackie, Catskill, here in Greene County.
Yeah. So they all sent these letters saying, look, we do not want the Thruway Authority, which isn't really qualified to do the environmental impacts, to evaluate the environmental impacts. We do not want the Thruway Authority. We want the DEC to be lead agent. And for whatever reason, the state decided to be co-lead agent. That's not what the towns and communities were asking for. But it's hopeful in that it's
How big
not-
is the environmental department of the Thruway Authority?
You know, that's a very good question. I don't even know.
Is there an employee in the environmental department of the? What does the Thruway Authority have to do with environmental? I guess they study the impacts of their bridges and stuff, but somebody else approves them.
I think most of their agenda is about health and safety, in terms of. But again, it's about traffic. It's not about pipelines. So, I really question their ability in this process, but. That's why all of the communities along the way, plus organizations like Catskill Mountain Keeper,
and I don't decide who decided that. Who decided that the DEC and the Thruway are going to do it together, or that it was going to be one? I mean, was it Cuomo or who was that they in this scenario?
Well, I doubt a decision like that gets made without it going through Cuomo's office. But it was, you know, the DEC did step up and saw the wisdom of what these towns were saying and that it shouldn't just be left to the Thruway Authority, and they stepped up and decided to be co-lead agency. It's not what those communities asked for, but it's a lot better than just leaving it with the Thruway Authority.
But it's still likely to be approved, or where are we? Tell us where
we
are with the Pilgrim.
A lot of people were hoping that the Thruway Authority would just deny that ask by industry and say, no, we're not going to do this, and we'd be done with it. It's going forward. The two agencies are going to be looking at it, and it's up to us. And when I say us, you know, Catskill Mountain Keeper and all the people and communities along the way, and organizations and coalitions, to hold their feet to the fire and make sure that they really look at these impacts. And it's the hope that they would say this is ridiculous and not needed, and we shouldn't be building it.
And so I guess you've been through the Constitution pipeline process, which is different, you know, apples and oranges, but it's a pipeline. But some of the same things are going on with public domain, I guess. The company goes out and surveys things and is kind of, and the different companies are supposedly not very forward or straight with people when they come to their properties to survey their land.
Right. There's been a series of incidents that have happened over the course of them trying to survey and plan where they're building this pipeline, where they've actually intimidated landowners, say, well, we're coming through here, you know, we need to survey. And, you know, some people haven't been familiar with the law, but until you get served with a notice of eminent domain, you do not have to allow them on
anything
on your property. It's still your property. And until you get to that point where you're going through the process of eminent domain, you can deny access to your property.
And is there do you get a hearing how does eminent domain work?
Well, it's a letter that gets and a statement that gets granted.
The state or?
Well, in this case, when the Thruway Authority and the DEC finish their environmental impact assessment, then I'm actually, you know, I would have to go back and check on the actual legal steps and, you know, when one is complete, when the next part of it.
But here we're not at that point yet. We're at the point where they're
right. We're at the point, in theory, what should be happening is they have a proposal that goes out as to how they're going to build this thing and where it goes, and then the
which
two
is sort
agencies
of changing all the time, right?
Start looking at and creating a environmental assessment of that, and then do an environmental impact statement, and then the public gets to look at that and have comment. One of the things I would say right now, I think, which is a big worry as for a lot of people along the path, is that they're not going to give us enough time in the comment period. This should not be, you know, when you build the little, garage around the corner, having the 30-day comment period might work. But a project of this size and the potential impacts of this, it needs a 180-day comment period or something of that fashion.
But I get the sense right now that they've been out in Greene County here locally, and a lot of the homeowners along the way have a sense that it's happening or know about it, and some are up in arms. There's a guy in Catskill that was speaking at the Greene County Legislature last week, and there are folks talking at the town councils and getting those things from the different town councils saying that we don't want the Thruway Authority deciding the environmental impact. What is it that people... What's impactful that people can do at this stage in this process here if they have an opinion one way or the other about the Pilgrim Pipeline?
Well, what people need to do is start reading documents about the pipeline that are out there and join your local group, whether it's the Coalition Against Pilgrim Pipeline.
There's a group in Facebook locally in Catskill that's been a meeting, I think, once a month.
Yeah, a lot of communities have these like smaller groups, but the Coalition Against the Pilgrim Pipeline is made up of organizations like Catskill Mountain Keeper and River Keeper and Sierra Club, along with all the smaller groups.
And there's a lot of opposition in New Jersey.
There's a whole series, and then there's a whole community of organizing that's happening in New Jersey as well. You're right.
It's bigger, and the opposition so far has been larger in New Jersey, or more organized, I guess.
They were on it sooner, and they. But I think just given what just happened, how quickly that announcement was made, and you know, within a week, you had all these 25 towns responding. I would say that's pretty good organization.
It was only a week ago that the towns knew that that the DEC and the Thruway Authority was up for grabs who was going to make the environmental review. 2 weeks, I guess, right?
Yeah, right. So it it happened pretty quick that that organizers went out, talked to the people in their community, the communities came forward and pressured their town council. I mean, there are some town councils that are part of those coalitions and fighting to protect their community as elected officials. So there's a serious amount of opposition to this, and that's because this doesn't make any sense. And it's an easy thing once people learn about what it is and why they're building it, and then what the potential impacts are. People are like, "What? Why are we doing this?"
I haven't read about any groups that are in favor of it or organizing in favor of any of these pipeline projects or electric transmission lines or oil trains. Do you know of anybody for the pipeline?
Yeah, well, industry is working with whoever they can to create mouthpieces here. There, you know, there's the industry has gotten some people out to the hearings who are speaking towards it. You know, they're trying really hard to get people on their side, and it's not working because it doesn't make any sense. People, when they find out what the issues are, they realize that a compressor station in their community is really bad for their health and it's bad for the environment. When an oil pipeline and the risks that come with an oil pipeline are running alongside the thruway and near their communities, they realize it makes no sense. And then when people find out the details of an oil train, that the railway companies usually steer these railway cars to major population areas because those tracks are inspected more, you have these trains that are coming through that are, you know, they call them bomb trains for a reason because they're loaded with volatiles in the crude oil. It's not just that like thick, gooey crude oil. There's butane, ethane, methane all mixed in with that oil and makes it incredibly explosive. So people learn that and they don't want that running through their community. Having to cross the railroad tracks with bomb trains on their way to work, that is scary to people.
Where are we with the Pilgrim Pipeline? What are they trying to get approved next?
Well, right now they've decided to be co-lead agent, and the process rolls on with the environmental assessment. So
the DEC and the Thruway Authority are going to announce a comment period next.
Correct.
And then that's when people can take action.
And that's when hopefully that comment period will be a long one, and then people will have a month or two to take it seriously, get the experts out there looking at what the issues are, evaluating, you know, what the DEC says about how it could go, and then hopefully, you know, we'll gain the political inertia to cancel this thing again. It's not just about New York. This is about climate change and the bigger picture, and we should not let industry just invade our state with infrastructure that's going to keep us addicted to fossil fuels.
And what about the Northeast Direct Pipeline? Where is that in the process now?
So that process just started.
Even newer than the Pilgrim Pipeline?
Yes, and that's newer than they just filed. They've made an announcement that they're going to file the actual, you know, filing with FERC. The letter hasn't happened yet, but that could be out any day now. And then we will go forward with...
So FERC has to approve that first?
There will be an environmental assessment done, an environmental impact state, and then FERC will decide to do an environmental impact
and then FERC will improve
and the
it.
Process will roll, then they'll have a document that we look at, and then... And
they always approve it. So they'll approve it. And then we have to fight it in, or people should fight it in where the DEC or where is it go to next?
Well, I mean, again, the problem with FERC is, as mentioned, they do this rubber stamping. They also do something called a tolling statement. So right now, Earth Justice representing Catskill Mountain Keeper, Hudson River Keeper, Sierra Club, Delaware Otsego, Audubon Society, Clean Air Action, and Delaware Riverkeeper all had a rehearing request based on their approval of the project. We said, look, there are problems with this. You didn't do cumulative impact. You didn't look at the potential of the NED pipeline, which wasn't applied for yet. And there was all these serious issues with the environmental impacts. They said, well, we'll grant we're granting your rehearing request, and we will give you a statement. That was 11 months ago. They're just sitting on it. They're not doing that. There was a case a year or so ago where Delaware Riverkeeper challenged a pipeline company on their cumulative impact review. They went to court. They won the court case, but the pipeline was already built. because they sat on that, you know, the tolling statement, as it's referred to. There's a whole series of organizations that are looking to send a letter to the federal government asking for an evaluation of FERC because they're not doing their job correctly. You know, the big there's a group that down in Washington, D.C. that's been fighting FERC, and their big cry is FERC doesn't work, and I really agree with that.
All right, if you just tuned in, we're speaking with Wes Gillingham from the Catskill Mountain Keeper Organization, telling us about the Constitution Pipeline, and also the Pilgrim Pipeline, the Northeast Direct Pipeline, and what's the AIM? What's that?
Yeah, that's the Algonquin Market Improvement Project, which that has been approved. That's ridiculous in how close it is to Indian Point nuclear power plant. You have the potential for a pipeline accident to threaten a nuclear power plant. One of the things that can happen when you have a pipeline explosion or accident is, you know, it can ruin infrastructure because, you know, you're talking about, you know, extremely flammable gas being released. And if that's burning, you could actually shut down the electricity that runs to Indian Point. That's a serious threat to a nuclear power plant if all of a sudden they're not able to, you know, operate correctly. That, you know, there's been a big push for that. They haven't decided to do an evaluation of that for whatever reason. And you have people in the direct line of the AIM project actually sitting on their property doing civil disobedience, trying to prevent the pipeline companies from going across their property and clearing trees.
Where is that?
That's down in Westchester County. You've got people going out and sitting next to a tree saying, no, you can't. That happened the day that they started construction. And that was interesting because the police didn't arrest that person because that person was sitting on their property. And they didn't, at that time, they didn't want to get involved with arresting somebody on their own property. So they didn't know the legal ramifications of that. So that is, you know, that's an example of people in the community and people who have this pipeline going right through their community saying, this is crazy, this shouldn't be allowed, and my government has failed me, and I'm going to stand in the line of the pipeline. You know, it's very similar to the effort that's going out in Seneca Lake. You know, We Are Seneca Lake, that organization coalition, has you know, has this long list of folks that have been getting arrested on a regular basis trying to prevent the gas storage facility out there, which again is it's the same thing. It fits into this bigger picture of industry trying to create this infrastructure so that we're addicted to their natural gas for the next 30 to 50 years. They wanted Seneca Lake to be a hub for all these pipelines where they can store the gas until the price goes, they get a better price, and then they can take it out, and then they can move it to facilities around the state. It's a strategic move on industry to make higher profits. And, you know, and because of what people have learned about fracking and these impacts over the last 8 years, people aren't standing for it, and you've got people putting their bodies on the line out at Seneca Lake and in the AIM project because it shouldn't happen.
Do you have any good news for us today? I guess they're going to do the PCB thing a whole year early or a couple months early, I guess, in the Hudson River. That's good news, right? Almost.
Well, the good news is that the Catskills are still one of its most intact ecosystems in the eastern half of the United States. There's an incredible amount of forest that's working for us on a daily basis to give us clean air and provide clean water and habitat. And it is, you know, the Catskills are a real jewel. That's why so many people up here who live up here are concerned about protecting it, because this is a rare place to live in. It's an amazing forest and really unique ecosystem, and we should be protecting it.
And those mountains just aren't covered with snow this year.
No. And, you know, we should be paying attention to our weather patterns and doing things to keep them normal.
And it's going to be 66 degrees tomorrow on Christmas Eve. So I guess that's good news in a way. If it's not bad news in a much bigger way.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Wes Gillingham from Catskill Mountain Keeper. You want to give out your URL if people want more information?
Yeah, it's catskillmountainkeeper.org.
And anything else you want to tell people to call or did we leave out? Or
yeah, I would say go to our website and look at some of the last few action alerts on these issues that we've sent out and, you know, sign the petitions that are on those old action alerts and make those phone calls. And we need to protect our communities and our state. And it's people like you are out there, listeners of this radio station, are the only thing that will make it happen.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in today, Wes from Catskill Mountain Keeper. I hear Santa Claus is going to be on something to talk about at 10 o'clock over in Hudson. So we'll head over there soon. But thank you for coming out here to Acre today.
Thank you for having me.